You know, the Lord, when he begins to work on us and with us, it always involves a lot of change. The Lord's people, their whole history seemed like was a matter of changing, and they were carried against their will down into enemy territory. The worst place that could have been, I guess, for them during those times. But the Lord visited them, and He made it better even in that land, and sent some of His prophets to them during that time to give them comfort and to know that the Lord had not forsaken them. But sometimes things happen that's not so much because of something we have done or not done. It's just, we're in a world that changes, you know. And sometimes it's for the better and sometimes it's for the worse. But, you know, we as people have gotten into a place to where some of these changes are necessary and good. Some of them are bad, and some of them we can't control. A lot of them we can. So we just, as always, it comes down to the point that we just have to do the best we can with things and realize that we will not always do the best that we know, but we pray that He will bless us here as a church, and wherever we are meeting, you know, then that's the church that's got together. So the church is not totally to dismiss it as to say it doesn't matter, but yet it has limited importance to us. I guess there was no time that there were more changes going on than when the Lord was here. And especially when the time come that He was going to ascend on high, that He's going to do some things prior to that that were absolutely vital to our being here and the hereafter. It's in several of the what we call the Gospels. They're one Gospel, but before I go in particular to that, there was some of His disciples that had gotten together after the Lord had been crucified, and it was just a hard time for Him. And they walking down the road having conversation, and a lot of things had happened that they was not aware of. That's always our case, isn't it? And when that's the case, then it causes apprehensions that the truth would relieve us of. And I'm sorry. That medicine has got my mouth so dry. I'll try to. But yeah, I have some. But as the two went along on the road to Emmaus after the Lord had been crucified, they used a term that is common today. Maybe not exactly the words, but when the Lord joined them on that road and He asked, you know, why are you so sad? Now, the Lord knew exactly what was troubling them. He knew, of course, beforehand, he knew it would be that way. But sometimes the Lord gives us the privilege of acknowledging him. And it does us good, and it's pleasing to him. So they're going along the road, and they're sad, and he joins them, and he, you know, and he knows all things, but he asks them, what's wrong, you know, why are you so sad? And they said, are you a stranger around here? Implying that everyone should know that. Are you a stranger here? Don't you know what has happened? Don't you know that a man come among us that that he did miracles? He did all these things, and we had thought that he is one, but he's dead now. And it seems that he's not the one. The Lord joined them on that road. And he's asking these questions. A lot of times, even the scripture will ask questions to us that's important that we know. It's important that to be asked. But they said, don't you know what's happened? We had thought that this was the Savior, but now they've killed him and he's dead. There's nothing left. If we don't believe in the resurrection, there's nothing left. We can understand how they were just sorrowed beyond measure because they didn't know. Maybe they had heard some people talk about it, but it was just talk maybe. Because there was a lot of talk went on when the women went to that grave and found that it was empty. They went back and they told his disciples. Now, I don't know if these two disciples were there at that time or not. But I can tell you they saw him crucified. They saw him put in a grave. And to believe that he had risen would require more than a verbal testimony. So whether they had heard that or not, whether they had heard some of his kinsmen or maybe the two that had taken him down and put him in the grave, it was not enough to hear someone else say it. So as they're traveling, they're going back home. It's over, it's happened, it's through with. And the Lord joins them. But he don't let them know who he is at that point. When the Lord joins himself to you, probably at that point, you don't know who he is. But he will, in time, he will make himself known. So they're walking along. And at first they say, are you a stranger here? Haven't you heard what's been going on? And he encourages them to speak out. Of course, he don't need them to let him know what's happened. Because he's the one that it happened to. He knows that he died, that he's put in the ground. And that's as far as they know. But he knows further than that, doesn't he? But you know, the Lord didn't just come out and say, "Well, you know, I'm the one, you know, that this happened to," and go into detail. And they said, "You know, they still didn't remember what he had said." And they said, "We had hope." That this was the one. They didn't even receive the evidence that was brought to them because they said, you know, some of the women went to the grave and they didn't find him there. But they didn't follow that anymore. They were just satisfied to let it go at that. But he turned. And when he made himself known, it didn't matter what someone else had gone and not seen. It didn't matter that what someone said about him. When he made himself known, and my friend, he's always done it that way. When God appeared to Moses, it didn't matter what someone else had said. When God appeared to David, it didn't matter what someone else had said. When he appeared to you, it didn't matter what someone else had said. They rejoiced in him. They went with him. You know, I can just picture in my mind, very soon after the Lord began to make himself known, that everywhere he went, there was a large crowd following him. A lot of folks glad to see him. They didn't understand all these things that was going to happen. But there was just something about him that they loved him. And they saw the wonderful things that he did, but that in itself, everyone saw that. And some of them despised him for it. And some of those that despised him for it was the very ones that he would die for. The ones that crucified him, the ones that watched him hanging on that cross in such a visible, dishonoring manner, was the very ones that stood down there and said, he said he was the Son of God. If he's the Son of God, let him come down from the cross. Little did they know that he had the power to do that. But he didn't come in the world to escape this. He said, "This is what I came in the world for." That was what was to comfort his friends and his family and those that loved him, to understand that I came in the world to do this. No man takes my life. This is why I came into the world. All through the ages, all through time, this was the testimony. That he would come and he'd redeem his people. And some of them at that time thought he was just talking about the Israelites. But he was talking about a lot more, wasn't he? And some people have the other extreme that he's talking about everybody. But Christ, my friend, when he hung on the cross, it wasn't just some normal thing. He wasn't just some normal individual. He had the ability to know and understand every wrong that you and I have ever done or ever will do. And he had the ability to take that wrong and take responsibility himself. I cannot imagine that. I know that's true. I cannot imagine. Because it seemed like that my sins alone would have broke him. The hip do it. But the Lord had told him about these things. Like the things that happened to us, the things that will happen in the future to us. He's already told us about it. But when it happens, oftentimes we forget what he has said. So these two, after the fact, they're walking along, going back home, over with. Lord joins himself to them, not letting them know who he was. I bet they never forgot that as long as they lived. But the Lord joins them with them. They're walking along. And he said, "Well, why are you so sad?" He said, "Man, hadn't you heard? We had thought that this was the one." Obviously, they had concluded that he wasn't. But he joins them in their walk. And as they keep walking along, the Lord is setting them up. And at some point, probably close to the end of their journey, as it is with a lot of God's people in this world, on toward the end of their journey, he speaks to them and he makes himself known. Christ don't have any problem making himself known. And the great so-called religious society that we live in is so concerned about going all over the world and making people aware of the Lord. I grant you, my friend, the gospel went out to all the world. And it is pleasing to God that his people, wherever they are, understand and believe the truth and have the great relief that it gives them. So if the Lord will fix it so that there's a preacher a Primitive Baptist preacher in the middle of China preaching the truth, I'm just happy about it. But what they preach, if they preach the truth, applies to them also. So these two are walking along, and the Lord joins them. And he kind of questions his people sometimes. He hadn't quit that. Have you ever had something that just really bothered you, that just troubled you? And somehow or another, at some point, you're not worried about that anymore. They thought not only that he had was dead, but they had decided that he wasn't the one. He's going to fix that too. So, but he let them continue this for you and me. If we could just know in part how God has suffered some of his people to be troubled and even slain for mine and your benefit. But they didn't know. They didn't know. We had thought. That's quite a statement, isn't it? I like that because of what follows. Because my friend, before that journey was over, what they had thought was gone. For now they knew him. They knew the truth. People talk about people getting to know the Lord. That's a wonderful statement if it's taken in the right context. And that was the prayer. And that was when they come to the end of the way. When he had done what the Lord told him, give him to do. And he appeared several times to his disciples. I don't know how many, but the Bible talks about him appearing to more than once and to more than one. And these two, after they got where they was going, and it become time for them to part in their natural movements, and he knelt down and prayed. That must have been quite an experience. I'll bet you they remembered that prayer for a long time. And the wonderful thing about it is, he had told them, whatever I ask of my Father, he'll give it to me. So that the contents of that prayer was something that they had to live with from then on. In the 24th chapter of Luke, there's a recording of that. I haven't read a lot of it. It's in the 24th chapter and the 13th verse. And we'll look at that for a moment. 24th chapter and 13th verse. And behold, two of them. Went that day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. Or about 7.5 miles. You know, back then they did a lot of walking, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Of course, they didn't have much of an alternative. But nonetheless. And they walked, talked together of all the things which had happened. They could have walked another 7.5 miles, probably talking about the things that had just happened. Because this is after the resurrection of Christ. And while they communed and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. How many times has he joined us and walked with us, and we didn't know who he was? Sometimes it pleases the Lord to not know him. Because eventually, he's going to make himself known. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with him, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said to them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are so sad? The Lord's setting them up. I mean, he's doing it in such a way that they will remember what happened. And they'll remember in detail what has happened here, because it's not a usual day for them. There'll never be another day like this with them. One of them said, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Well, there's more sad truth to that than maybe was spoken in this particular scripture. And has not known the things which have come to pass in these days? And the Lord said, what things? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. He did not do these things in a corner, as one of the writers said. These things were not done in a corner. Christ did them openly. He did them even where the presence of Satan and his people could witness it. There was no excuse for not believing him. And he said, what things? They continued their relating to him as the discussion was going. And how the chief priests and our rulers, delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we had trust. Now they're talking to the risen Savior. But we had trusted, past tense, yeah. We had thought. In the Acts, the testimony is, we had thought. Here they said, we had trusted. Not just thought, but really had put their trust. That it was, had been he which should redeem Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things have been done. The third day, when you're reading the scripture, look up some things that happen on the third day. See, Lord, he left testimonies all along, and so many things that happened to the Lord, that there's a testimony in the Old Scripture about this is what's going to happen. These are things that I give you to testify when he comes. He'll be born of a virgin. Where he's going to be born. So many things that he had given them. On the third day. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. You know, if those apostles had gone there to the grave to just to be with him, if they had gone there, they would have found out what these women were finding. But the Lord appeared unto them because they had made the effort to do what they could do. And they had come to anoint his body. Because they wanted him to be buried right. They knew that this anointing wouldn't keep him from deteriorating. But my friend, even as he lay dead, the anointing served this purpose. He didn't need that. He would not have that because he didn't need that. But it was a wonderful testimony of them that they would come and want to take care of him even though they thought he's still dead. But you know what the reward was? They were the first time to see him risen. And they were excited about it, they beyond expression. So they go back to the apostles and the other followers. You can just almost picture in your mind when they approach them with great joy and crying out, "We've seen him. He's not there anymore. We went there and the tomb was empty, but on our way back, he joined us and we saw it." The others, I can just imagine, they didn't waste any time going back there because they had seen him laid in a grave and buried. They got back. It was empty. There wasn't anybody there. You know, if they had just remembered, they would have known. But I wonder sometimes when they stood there looking at that grave, open, everything perfect. Not one grain of soil out of place. Because it was God who raised his son, and Christ said on one time that he raised himself. Well, he raised himself in the sense that he was God. They didn't kill God. They didn't bury God. But God, the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit was guarding that thing. And that was the power that he came forth in. Now, those fellows that started out in that trip, it got better. It got better because when they got to where they was going, they had something to tell folks. And it wasn't about the sadness of what had happened at Jerusalem, but it was what had happened to them on that road. They had some news, my friend, that was better than all the bad news they'd ever heard. That he's alive. He's alive, and Mary and Mary Magdalene has seen him. And it wouldn't be long till they would see him. But they made their report, and they come together, that's rejoicing about this and talking about what had been seen, and that the grave was empty, and all these things. And Thomas comes in, and you know the story of Thomas, that he just couldn't believe that Christ was raised. He said, "I won't believe it until I touch him with my hand. Till I make sure that it's the same one, that y'all hadn't come up with something and said, this is the Christ when it was." He said, "I won't believe it until I put my hand in that hole in his side." So the Lord shows up. He said, "Thomas, come here. I want you to put your hand in this hole in my side." Thomas said, "Lord, don't you know he felt bad about saying those things? We've all said some things that makes us sad and wish we hadn't said. He didn't have to put his hand in his side." All the Lord has to do is speak, and it's done. And I bet you from that time on that Thomas was probably one of the most faithful of the disciples. I bet wherever he went, and someone said, "Well, we don't believe," I'm going to tell you, I put my hand in his side where the soldiers had pierced it with a spear. He had a good argument, didn't he? That's just so anyone's asleep. I wanted to close our efforts this morning. It's almost 1 o'clock. Yeah. So John kind of finishes his testimony on this particular point. And it's in the 20th chapter of John. The last two verses of that chapter. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through his name." A good life. A good life close to him. That's the kind of life he's talking about. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. Thank you for your attention this morning.
God bless you.